I'd like now to turn your thoughts to the passage we read in Luke chapter 15 and the words that we have from verse 21. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Father, I have sinned. This passage that we read, especially from verse 11, it tells us about a father who was so willing to forgive his erring son. And the picture that it gives to us is a picture of the Lord, the one who is so willing to forgive, no matter who the person is, and no matter the sin that they may have committed. It's true to say that today, the world is crying out for forgiveness. The world is in that state where they doesn't realize that only God can forgive. Not long before she died, that was in 1988, Margarita Laski, and she was a secular humanist, and this is what she said: what I envy most about you Christians is your forgiveness. I have nobody to forgive me. And what we should remember is this: there is one who is able to forgive us. One who is longing to forgive us. One who is able to cleanse us from all sin and from all unrighteousness. And when you think of this, forgiveness is God's answer to the sin question. Why is it that individuals don't seek the forgiveness of God? God is the one who is able to forgive, and especially the guilt that is felt by so many. He forgives. And when he forgives, he removes that awful guilt. Now, there are three men mentioned in this story from verse 11. First of all, you have a rebellious son. And then you have a remarkable father. But then in the part we didn't read, you have a resentful brother. And what I want us to notice, first of all, with regard to this younger son, he was resistant. Now, whether it was that he didn't like the restrictions of the home, or maybe he didn't like the religion of his father, or maybe he was looking for something that was better than what he experienced at home. Maybe he was looking for a kind of reality. But you know, it seems, as you read the story, that he had no respect for his father. And what you find is this, that he gets what he wants, and then he's away. And somebody put it like this: he wanted what the father could give him, but he didn't want the father. And there are so many like that in the world today. They want what God can give them, but they don't want God himself. So this young lad, he got what he wanted, and he leaves home, and we are told that he lives a careless life, a life that leads to ruin. It's a story of a wasted life. Somebody said, I'm sure you've heard it, all that glitters is not gold. But somebody else said, sin will take you further than you want to go. Sin will keep you longer than what you want to stay, and cost you more than what you want to pay. This young lad, he ended up feeding the pigs. How low this Jewish boy went. He ended up with a ruined, wasted life. He ended up with nothing. Now, maybe today, you might feel to a degree like this young lad. Maybe you have resisted the calls of the gospel or resisted the way of life that was in your own family, going to church, taking the books and so on, and you wanted to get away and you wanted to just do your own thing. And maybe you're in the place where you want to come back to that. But more than that, where you want to come back to the God of your people. And that's the story you find here. And that's why this young lad is saying, I have sinned against heaven and before you. He knew the wrong that he did. He knew that he wronged God, and he knew that he wronged his father. So, you see that this led to ruin. But then there's a second thing I want us to notice about him. That while he is feeding the pigs, he begins to reflect. Reflection is good. And here is this young lad, and he's reflecting on the past, what I had. He's reflecting on the present, what I don't have. And I'm sure he's beginning to reflect upon the future. What prospects has he? And as he is sitting there watching the pigs eating and longing to take these pods, he is reflecting. And to go back to what I said earlier, you can imagine him saying to himself, what a mess. What a mess I've made, and what a mess I'm in. Oh, he had a good time. But he could have said the words of another. I tried the broken cisterns, Lord. But the waters failed. Even as I stooped to drink, they fled and mocked me as I wailed. You see, the land of wine, women, and song became the land of weeping, worry, and sorrow. And the person that said that sums it up, and sums up the life of this prodigal son. So he began to reflect. And those reflections that he had, I believe, they led to regret. And as he is regretting all that he has done, then there's something else that happens. He begins to make a resolution. He resolves. And you can imagine him saying, look, I've had enough with this. I want to get back home. I want to be where I will be accepted. And he begins to resolve. And that resolve led to him returning home. Maybe today, you know that you're still a stranger to God and to his grace, but maybe today you have made a resolve. And you're saying to yourself, I want to get back to God, and I want to know God. I want to know his blessing. I want to know what all my people knew about the Lord. In other words, you're making a resolve. But are you returning? Are you seeking after the Lord? So here is a lad that is resistant. But then also, here is a lad that is returning home. You see, it wasn't enough to make the resolution. He still had to come home. That was the only remedy. How many folk have said, well, if I turn over a new leaf, if I live a better life, surely that's enough. And here is this guy, and he's returning home. Why? Because he's fed up with the past. It didn't meet his need. What his soul was crying out for, he didn't find it in this far-off land. In other words, his prosperity had let him down. And now he is left with nothing. And he feels so awful when he thinks about that. So he wants to return. But it's not just that he's fed up. But I believe that he wants to be right with his father, his estranged father. Now, it's interesting the way this story pans out. His father. Why is he thinking about his father? And I believe it is because of the example that he was given in his father's house. When he lived in the house or in the home, even when he left home. And I believe that that enabled him to return home when he thought about his father. And then the embrace that his father gave him when he was near the house. I believe that that enabled this young lad to relax. But it helped him to repent as well. So what you find is this. He wants to get back. He has to admit that he's failed. He has to admit that he's just made a mess of things, that he is a fool. He has to admit, I'm finished with the past. But also, he has to accept that there is no other way to find peace. And he wasn't going to be prevented, or he could have waited. He could have wasted time. He could have gone and got himself cleaned up. But he didn't. And here he is on his way back. But I want you to think about something else. That as he was making his way back, there were thoughts coming into his mind. Thoughts, I believe, that he would have ignored. I wonder, was he thinking to himself, I might die before I get home. He could have died of some illness. He could have died on hunger. You know, many folk think that they're going to live forever. But I believe there are those who are, what we would say, under concern. And maybe you're afraid that you don't make it. Afraid that you don't make it. But remember this. No one who truly seeks the Lord will be failed by the Lord. Oh, he could have been killed on the way home. That would be a thought in his mind. But there was something else. You can imagine this young lad thinking to himself, what if the demon that drew me away from the home and from my father's house, what if that demon tries to bring me back again? I wonder today, are you trying to get rid of a demon? And the Word of God reminds us there is only one way. And that is the power of the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But then, maybe there's another thought in his mind. What if my father doesn't want me? And the father would be justified in saying to this young lad, away back to where you came from. And you can imagine the devil putting the thought into his mind, there's no chance of you being accepted. There's no hope of your father taking you in. You know, lots and lots of people, and they're seeking to make their way towards God, and the devil is saying to them, you're not going to make it. There's no chance that you're going to be accepted. There's no hope. But think of this. If any of us were ever to say, God won't accept me, you're thinking of the kind of life that you may have lived. And you might think that you've gone down to rock bottom, or you had gone down to rock bottom, and you're thinking to yourself, God would never accept me. Then remember this. You're making God a liar. Because God said that whoever would come to him, and when we come in all sincerity looking for his blessing, looking for his forgiveness, he would never turn us away. Oh, this young lad, he could have feared his father's displeasure. And maybe that could have prevented him from coming home, but it didn't. There's one other thing that I think that may have been in the mind of this young lad. What if my father says to me, right, you're home, but for the next month, for the next few months or for the next year, you've got to live up to a standard. As if he has been put on probation. And he says, maybe I'm going to be put in probation before I'm fully accepted. But I think he ignored all these things. And here is this young lad that was so resistant of his home and his father. He now returns. And he returns with repentance. You see, it was not enough to reflect. It was not enough to have regrets. It was not enough to resolve that he was going home. He had to return home. But that was not enough. He had to repent. Now, when you think of this word repentance, I'm just going to mention the four things. When somebody is repenting, they want to be rid of their sin. They want to be right with God. And when someone is repenting, then there's the removal of a barrier. The barrier of sin is taken away. And there's a restoration of fellowship. That's repentance. And I believe that is what was happening to this young lad. He repented. But then, moving on, I want us to notice how he was received, his reception. And what we are told is this, first of all, his father recognized him. And even though he was a long way off, his father recognized him. And just think of this. The father still loved his son. And I'm sure that the father longed for this son to come home. And I'm sure there were other days like this when the father would be standing out looking to see if there was any sight of his son. You see, in spite of everything, he wanted him home. You might be in this situation today, where, to use an expression that we often use, maybe you have backslidden. Maybe you're not what you once were. And maybe you realize that I need to get right with God, I need to be rid of this sin, I want this awful barrier removed. Then realize this. God is the one, you could put it like this, who is looking out for you. And he's waiting for you to return. And he's speaking to you. I'll come to that in a moment, but he's speaking to you through his word. So the father recognized him. But a second thing that the father did was this. He ran to him. Now, this was the action of a father who cared. Old men then, they didn't run. But he ran to him. Why? Because he was filled with compassion towards him. That's why he ran to him. And we are told that he threw his arms around him. Why? He wanted to show his son, and he wanted to show the neighbors that his love for this son had not changed. But there's also something else. He ran to him, he embraced him, and I believe that in doing that, he wanted to shelter his son. Now just think of this for a moment. In Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 18, according to the law of Moses, the neighbors had the right to stone the rebellious son. That was the law. But if you imagine the picture, the father has embraced him. And if these neighbors began to fire the stones, then they would be hitting the father first. All the blows, all the stones would have in all probability hit the father. He deserved to be punished. He deserved to die according to the law. But the father was so willing that he would be saved and that he would be forgiven that he was willing to throw his arms around him. You think of what Christ did on the cross. The blows that we should have received, the punishment that was due to us, that was taken by him. And as we are reminded, on his own body on the cross or on the tree, he took that instead of us. And that is the wonder of the gospel. You see, the father wanted to show his love for the wayward son. So, when he was being received, the father recognized him, the father ran to him, but there's something else. The father received him. He didn't turn him away. He didn't turn his back on him, but he took him in. And then there's something else. The father reinstated him. It's a tremendous thought when you think of it. As if he had never been away. Or put it another way, as if he had never done anything wrong. Now, that is how you could sum up justification. When God forgives, and when we experience his blessing, then there's justification. And as Professor Finlayson once put it, justified never sinned. Justified. And that is what you find here. The father reinstated him. And when we come to believe and trust, then, as if we had never been away, as if we had never committed sin, because our sins have been dealt with, they have been forgiven, they are never going to be brought again to our minds. They're going to be cast into the sea of God's forgetfulness. God is not going to remind us of our past sin. We might do that ourselves, but God doesn't do it. We're not meant to be, you might say, digging up the sins of the past, because they have been dealt with. They have been forgiven. And that is what justification is. That is what happened. He was reinstated. And no wonder that there was rejoicing. And I like the words that there is rejoicing in heaven. Now, in one version, amongst the angels of God, is it God that is rejoicing? Just God. I believe it is heaven. Heaven rejoices when one sinner returns. And maybe today, you could be that one, maybe there are more, but you could be that one person, and you're causing heaven to rejoice because, to use this expression, you have come home. See, they rejoice because he was no longer dead, but alive. And what a reunion that was for the Father and the Son. The last thing that I want us to notice, now we didn't read this part, but you think of this young lad's rejection. You see, we are told about the elder brother. He resented. He resented what the father was doing, and he resented the fact that the son had come home. Resentful. You see, up till this point, this older lad was respectful to his father. And he makes that so clear. I did all that you wanted me to do. I kept this and I kept that. But now what is happening? He is showing his real character. And maybe you're saying to yourself, I keep the commandments. I don't do this and I don't do that and I never did that. But maybe there is something happening and you're beginning to show your real character because you think that just keeping the laws is sufficient. And then it is pointed out to you that that is not the case, that you must believe and turn. And the other thing is this, he refused to join in with the rest. And you can imagine the father coming out to this older boy and saying, oh, come on, come in. Your younger brother has come home. Maybe there are others, the members of the staff, and they would have been pleading with him. What made this elder brother think that he was better than the others? And therefore, he thought to himself, I'm not going in. I'm going to stay where I am. You see, God forgives. And that is the picture that is given to us here. He forgives all sin. He cleanses from all unrighteousness. He brings us into his family. He makes us his sons and his daughters. We become heirs and joint heirs with Christ, the one who is our elder brother. The one who is not resentful. The one who will rejoice when the sinner comes home. I wonder then today, where do you think you are spiritually? Are you that this like this younger lad and you've just gone your own way? You've kicked over the traces. You've gone your own way. And maybe today you've realized what a mess you have made. And you want to come back, you want to return, you want this forgiveness, then let me tell you, that forgiveness is there. God is so willing to forgive. But then, maybe you are, the expression I used earlier, maybe you are the backslider and you've fallen away. You can return. You can find mercy. You can find forgiveness. Maybe today you're not interested in being in the family of God. Maybe you're thinking to yourself, I'm okay as I am. Remember, there's a heaven to gain. There is a hell to shun. And no matter what you think, you're going to stand before God and you're going to give an account to him And you can't turn and say to God, Lord, I've lived a good life. And the Lord will say, but I never knew you. Maybe today you're in this place, and I hope that most of you are, all of you in fact, that you're believing and trusting in the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Then think of the wanderers. Think of those who are still outside the kingdom, and be praying, be looking for them to come in to the kingdom of God as well. I have sinned, but he found forgiveness. Amen. May the Lord add his blessing to these few thoughts upon his word. We're going to bow our heads in a word of prayer.